Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his head and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it came, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nation, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven, on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both great, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 600, threescore and six. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jan. Well, today we come to chapter 13, which against the background of the closing verse of chapter 12, brings us to the crisis of the midweek of those 7 years of tribulation. You may remember when we were in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, there would be 7 years yet to be fulfilled in relation to Israel. And in the middle of those 7 years, certain things would happen. And so what we found so far, that in chapter 12, it was in the midpoint of those 7 years of tribulation that Satan, the dragon, the devil, was cast out of heaven. And being cast out of heaven, knowing that his time was short, he was full of wrath. And although God preserved the woman Israel, he went after her, the remnant of her seed. And so we find when we come to chapter 13, we're at a crisis point, where the midpoint of the week, 3.5 years have gone, 3.5 years are yet to go. And in these last 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus Christ described them as the tribulation, the great one. So what we have in these verses, in verses 1 to 8, we have the dragon and the beast. In verse number 9, we have an appeal made to those that have an ear. In verse number 10, we find that the patient endurance and faith of the saints are encouraged by the fact that there will be divine retribution upon their persecutors. And so we find those 10 verses have to do with the dragon and the beast and the appeal and then the divine retribution upon those who persecute the people of God. Verse number 11 brings us now to another beast. John Saul said, I saw another beast. And so now we have another beast brought upon the scene of time. This beast had all the power of the first beast. And we sign that through from this beast, from verse 11 down to verse 18, we have the second beast. And then we have the image of the first beast, with the command of all to worship the image. And so we made mention in our reading, of course, of those who had the mark of the beast. And so we want to look today at this chapter. I want to understand, first of all, that actually the final Gentile world power and its ruler are very closely identified. So it is difficult, and it's a problem in this chapter, to identify when it's speaking of the empire of the beast and when it's speaking of the beast himself. That's how close the identification is between the two. In other words, it seems to me that the empire is personified in its last ruler, called here the beast. So we just keep that in mind as we just look at these things. You notice in verse 1, the emphasis there is upon the actual beast as the empire. Notice he says that he was standing upon the sand of the sea, and he saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now then, what we have here in this chapter, again and again, symbolic language that John uses as he relates the vision that was given to him in these first 8 verses. And so we find that what John saw was a beast rising up out of the sea. What I want to suggest to you is this. It's not the Mediterranean Sea that John would most probably be looking at from his place in the Isle of Patmos. But I take it that the word is symbolic, and it refers to the nations of the earth in their tumult. And we find that out of the tumult of the nations, John said, I saw a beast rise. And and this beast, which represented the final Gentile world power, was marked by these things.
Having 7 heads and 10 horns.
Now, we've already considered the 7 heads and the 10 horns, and the crowns are upon the 10 horns. Remember what we said, that there were 7 heads that John saw. There was 5 had already passed away when John recorded this vision. That is, of course, Babylon and Assyria, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. They'd all passed off the scene into history. So when John was recording this vision, Rome was the world power. That was the world empire in the day of John. And so he says there's a seventh head yet to appear. And so we have 7 heads, 5 were gone to history, 6 was then was when John recorded this vision, and yet the 7th was still in the future. And that 7th, of course, is still future, even to us in our day. And so we find that what John is presenting to us is the character of that final world empire. They will be under Gentile rule, and he speaks of it as
like a beast. I saw like a leopard, and
he describes it as a body as a leopard, and it has feet like the feet of a bear, and has the tongue of a lion. And so John is using symbolic language to describe to us the character of the last Gentile world power that will rule in the world prior to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to earth to establish the kingdom of God. So these 2 verses introduce us then to to the empire and also to the emperor that rules the empire. And he uses his symbolic language to give us an idea as to the character of the last world empire that will rule the world. And of course, as we understand it, it will be Gentile world power, and the beast will be a Gentile ruling in that kingdom, and his rule would stretch out to the four corners of the earth.
And I saw one of his hands as it
moved. No, he says, I take it now speaking. In relation, he said, I saw one of the heads, and we learned later on that it was a seventh head, wounded as unto death.
Yeah.
And that deadly wound was healed. Now then, there is a conflict of ideas as to what this means. Some think that at this point, Satan had the power. At this point, the final Gentile world ruler was an attempted assassin upon his life. And such was the attack that it looked as though it left the man as though he were dead. Some believe he was dead. And therefore they give to Satan the power to a resurrection, to raise a man from the dead. Now, that would not be my understanding of the verse. My understanding would be this, that this final ruler of this worldwide empire will actually, there'll be an attempt on his life. They'll try to assassinate him. And it was with the sword, as we learned later on in the chapter, and it looked as though the man was dead. But when that deadly wound was healed, I take it then that there was a pseudo sort of resurrection. The man wasn't dead actually, and therefore the man was not resurrected into life. I take it, it was just symbolic. His wound was such as it left the man looking as though he were dead. But that deadly wound was healed. That's what gave him preeminence and supremacy as far as the world power was concerned, for all the world wondered after this one who seemingly was dead but now is alive again.
And they worshipped the dragon which gave
power. And the interesting thing is this, they worshipped the dragon. You may remember with regard to the Lord, Satan said unto him, all these things will I give thee, all these kingdoms and the glory of them, is thou bow down and worship me. Well, that's what he gave to this final Gentile ruler as far as worldwide rule and government is concerned. He gave him his power and he gave him his throne. The word is seat and are authorized, the word is throne. And he gave him great authority. So this final Gentile world ruler that arises out from among the troubled nations, he will have power given to him, satanic power, will be given to him, and his throne will be given to him by Satan, and his great authority will have its source in Satan. And so we see, in order for Satan to accomplish his purpose, stated in chapter 12, to actually destroy the people of Israel, through whom the purposes of God must be accomplished. And now this is the first of the satanic agents that he's going to use to try and accomplish his purpose, that is to destroy the people of Israel, destroy the nation, and so frustrate the purpose of God for the bringing in, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And there was given unto him 8 mouths speaking great things.
Now, it is interesting, isn't it, that it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. You know, this links back, does it not? Or links on to 2 Thessalonians, or back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have this man described for us as the man of sin, the lawless one. And he speaketh great things against God. And he set himself ultimately up in the temple of God and declared himself to be the only object of worship. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And now we find that this one called the beast here does exactly those things. And so we see the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 that grew up among the other horns. And then the man of sin, the lawless one of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the beast, they're all one and the same, giving different characteristics of the person whom Satan has brought into power, and his rule, his empire, would stretch throughout all the nations, because
I was given unto him to continue 42 months.
Now it's very interesting. It was given unto him 42 months. It was considered 42 months, I think, in chapter 12. They represent the 1260 days. It represents a time times in half a time. It refers to the last 3.5 years of those 7 years of tribulation. It's the time when the Lord Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation that's spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then flee. So now we find that here in this particular man, we have set before us one who not only had satanic power and authority and his throne, who not only spoke great things against God in blasphemies and railings against God and the tabernacle of God and those who are in heaven. We find that actually here is one who was going to actually accomplish for 42 months, those last 3.5 years, he would be the one through whom Satan would try and accomplish his purpose. That's why these last 3.5 years are called the Great Tribulation. There'll be 3.5 years of terrible, dreadful suffering. For this man will exercise his power being satanic, to persecute all those that will seek to be loyal to God. Verse.
I was given unto him to make war with the saints.
So now he says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. That's true, isn't it? Because when we're back in chapter 11, remember those two witnesses that testified for God for the first 3.5 years of these 7 years of tribulation? No one could kill them. But now we have one whom Satan has empowered, and he has the ability now to kill the saints. And he killed those two witnesses and left their bodies lying in the street of Jerusalem until God raised them from the dead and they ascended up into heaven. And so we find that these last 3.5 years, which will be controlled by this Gentile ruler, who will definitely be a ruler of the whole world, his influence will reach out of the whole world, and persecution of all those that would seek to be faithful and loyal to God. And so the verse says,
and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb.
Now it's interesting, isn't it, that all, during these last 3.5 years, all the nations in the earth will worship this beast, this ruler that controls the whole world at this point, will worship him. And all those?
And the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation.
So they, those whose names are written in the book of the life of the Lamb, they will be the ones who will retain their loyalty unto God and unto his purpose and unto his word and unto his testimony. But all those upon the earth whose names are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, and that Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world will come under the control, total control of this man, and only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will be faithful, referred to no doubt as the remnant of the woman, but they will suffer dreadful persecution and martyrdom on the part of many, because they will not receive the mark of the beast, and they will not worship the beast. And so we find in these first 8 verses, this chapter brings us to the crisis point in these 7 years. Right at the middle of those 7 years, this man comes to the fore. Of course, he began to rise away back in the first 3.5 years, when the Lord opened the first seal, the seven sealed book. This was the man who rode upon a white horse. And we see his ascent to the supremacy of his power in chapter 13. Depicted for us as he rode upon a white horse as the Lord opened that first seal. But now he's reached his supremacy. He is supreme as far as the world is concerned. And we find this last world power controlled by this man will affect the whole of the world. And that for a time. And a times. And a half a time. In other words, the dragon will give him power to continue those last 3.5 years. And it said those years were shortened, as the scripture says, meaning had not God actually determined the length of those years, then none of the elect would be saved. But God has determined the length of the great tribulation, 3.5 years, 42 months. And for that period, the dragon gave to this man satanic power so that he could do and bring about such devastation throughout the world, and especially in relation to Israel. And it is against this background that now we find there is an appeal to he that hath an ear, let him hear. This will be very relevant, of course, when those days, last days come. And when they come to the middle of this 7-year period in the future, the man that has an ear is encouraged now to hear. And what is to hear? Well, first of all, that there will be divine retribution upon those who will take them into captivity and to those who will kill them with the sword. In other words, because of their faithfulness to God, though they be martyred, we find that their actually endurance and their patience and their faith in Jesus Christ will be actually encouraged and established in the revelation to them that after all, there will be divine restitution, there will be divine activity when all those who made them suffer and all those who took away their lives will now and in that future day be dealt with by God, and they will suffer under the judgments of God for their persecution of his people during those dreadful, terrible 3.5 years that brings to a conclusion time prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to earth to establish his kingdom. But then John sees, he sees another beast. This time not coming up out of the sea, not originating from among the nations as the first beast. But here's a beast who, I think some translations put it, who rose up from the land. So this may suggest that this second beast, called 3 times in later chapters the false prophet, may well be the one who presents himself as the Messiah unto the nation of Israel. This could be the one who's called the Antichrist. Although John is the one that uses that title, he doesn't actually define for us who the Antichrist will really be. But the fact that this second beast is called the false prophet, and the fact that he serves the interest of this Gentile ruler, and the fact that he rises up in the land, I take it, the land of Israel, may indicate to us that at the time, during these 3.5 years of great tribulation, this man will be operative too. For he will have the power of the first beast. And in the power of the first beast, he will then do those things that will have an effect upon men and women of the world and recognize him to be as he presented himself as the Messiah. And so we find in verse number 12, is it, Beryl?
Yeah, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast.
So we see that through this false prophet, the second beast, he exercises all the power of the first beast. And as a result, he then brings, pressure upon all to worship the first beast. And so we find the fact that the first beast receives his power, his authority, his throne from Satan. So now we find he is worshipped because one of the miracles that he wrought was likened to the miracle that Elijah wrought when fire came down from heaven upon the altar to consume the sacrifices. Now this false prophet will have power given to him by the dragon to call down fire from heaven to earth as a sign that he here is the one who presents himself as the Messiah. And so we find that he will deceive many in Israel, and he will deceive the whole world.
She will dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth,
amen,
that they should make
now, it is against this background the scripture now tells us, against this demonstration of his power and of these miracles, these wonders, these signs, these wonders which are called signs, really, the things that he has done to establish himself as the false prophet and the promised Messiah, we find now that he commands the people that they should make an image unto the first beast. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ refers to in Matthew 24, verse 15, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And so we find an image is going to be made, an image of the first beast. It will be made like unto the first beast. And now all the earth dwellers, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, will be commanded to worship the image of the beast. And all those who would not worship the image of the beast, they should be killed. And so we see that during these last 3.5 years of what we read of in Daniel's 70th week, we find there's going to be dreadful, terrible persecutions. And the saints of God will be martyred, and there will be a vast number persecuted. And so we find that this beast, exercising the power of the first beast, was also given power of Satan himself to accomplish this end, to destroy the people of Israel.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast.
Now he says it had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, very interesting. The Greek word rendered life here occurs, I think, over 300 times in the New Testament. And if I remember correctly, this is the only time it's translated by the word life. All the other times, it translated breath. And so it's not so much given the image life, it's actually given the image breath. And the suggestion has been made that what, at this point, with the dragon now controlling the false prophet, causes this image to be demon-possessed, so that now the image can speak and the image can command. And so we find that the command was this, that all should receive the mark of the beast, whether in the right hand or on the forehead. They were to identify themselves with the first beast by this mark, and all who would not receive the mark. Notice, this man will not only have political power, this first beast, but he will not only have religious power, only his religion will be acceptable, but he will have commercial power. For if you haven't got the mark of the beast, you can neither buy nor sell. And so there will be tremendous difficulty for those who will be faithful to God in those last 3.5 years, refusing to receive the mark of the beast, they'll neither be able to buy nor sell. Commercial business will come to a halt as far as they are concerned. Keeping that in mind, when you next read what is called the Lord's Prayer, this may well be the prayer of these faithful Jews during those last days of tribulation. Now, when they do not receive the mark of the beast, they can neither buy nor sell. Then will be their prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And so we find that particular prayer will have relevance at this point in time during those last 3.5 years, when the godly, who would refuse to receive the mark of the beast and refuse to worship the image of the beast, then we find that God will provide for them in all their need. And so we find in this chapter When these things come to pass, those that have understanding will recognize and know the name of this beast. It's the name of a man. And what is that name? 666. Now, there's been a lot of suggestions and thoughts expressed as the meaning of that name. But the Bible doesn't tell us. All we know is 6 is the number of man. And so we find he was born on the 6th day. God made him on the 6th day. And we find that was for 6 days he would do labor, the 7th day he would rest. So this name, 666, has to do with this man whom the dragon has raised up for the accomplishment of his purposes to destroy the nation of Israel and the false prophet to support him in that work. When these days actually run their course, we find that those in that day who have understanding will recognize, will know the name and recognize the number of the beast. And so they'll maintain in this chapter their faithfulness to God in spite of the constant threat of death and martyrdom. They'll be persecuted, many will be killed, but there will be that faithful remnant right the way through, for God will always maintain a witness for himself. So chapter 13 is that crisis chapter that tells us what will happen at that midpoint period of those 7 years. And so we find that it will be the devil's final effort to destroy the people of God. But God, after all, is overall blessed forever. And next week, we'll just look at chapter 14. And then we'll finish off these parenthetical chapters from chapter 10 through to chapter 14. And now we'll pick up in chapter 15 and 16 after we've done 14. The judgments of God, no longer the seals, no longer the trumpets, but then it will be the vials, the bowls of the wrath of God. So we trust that God will just bless his word to us today.